Hello, everybody. It's Lex and Stacy with Threesome Podcast 34. If you notice the numbers going by quick, it's because we're doing more of them.
We're doing it quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. We have other things to do, but we still want to do it. Therefore, we're doing it quick. It's what most of you married fuckers should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're married, just not to each other. I'm not even married.
We need to, yeah, make sure people understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what I am anymore, to be honest with you. I feel like I'm married.
I was going to say, does Sandy know?
Oh, God. I mean, she found out when I asked the first time, so. Yeah, she doesn't care.
Oh, I think she does. Yeah,
probably. I don't know. Maybe it's me that doesn't care.
I think that's, yeah, what you're going for.
Yeah. So, anyway, we have things to talk about today. You found some awesome stories last time, and so did I, and we had one hell of a fun podcast. It was the... it will be forever known in legendary circles as the Rape Cast.
Yes. So much rape.
And somehow or another, we got elaborated about the seriousness of rape and still got our jokes in. And it was, well, without hurting the victims, if that makes any sense.
With a 10-inch dong.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Like the 16-year-old girl's boyfriend.
I mean, isn't your mom supposed to save you from anything that hurts you? I don't have a problem with any of that. Hey,
sounds
Mom.
Like Mom was doing a lot of saving that night.
Hey, Mom, I still have this pristine pussy because I'm 16. Can I take your worn-out flappy one and let my boyfriend do it so I don't get hurt?
Like fucking a warm bucket of water.
hot dog down a hallway. All the classics. That was an amazing story. Just a quick recap on that one. If you haven't heard the last episode yet. The lady in Georgia, the 35-year-old that thought it was cool to throw her kid a big party, pot and booze, naked twister. She bangs an 18-year-old in the bathroom, doesn't get enough, puts on a display with toys in front of the horrified kids, then goes to bed fucked up. Later on that night, the drunk daughter, who's with her boyfriend, decides he's too fucking huge and sends her...
Because he has a 10-inch dong.
Yeah, and sends him into Mom, who's... You know, obviously has the capacity to handle such a unit. Because she's old.
Old and, yeah, she's 35. She's ancient.
Well, I mean, she's been batted around more than that 16-year-old has. So.
One would hope.
She's had 19 years more, penetration than she has.
Plus, she gave birth at least once.
Five kids, I found out later, Stacy.
Holy crap.
Yeah, the
it's huge and worn out.
The horrible part of that story that we didn't elaborate on, and it's good because it would have taken it to a serious place, and who needs that? But while all this was going on, there were apparently three kids in the house.
That's what happens when you try to be the cool parent.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
I have no interest in being the cool parent. I thought I would. I thought I'd have a, you know, issue between wanting to have a great relationship with my kid and being a real parent. But it turns out I have no problem parenting. I'm great at saying no.
It takes care of so many control issues you have.
No, I still have, I mean, you can't control enough, really. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, while I'm trying to get my kid to come home at 10 o'clock, I still want, you know, all of Europe and Asia at my disposal. But, you know, one thing at a time.
Yes. Baby steps.
Yes. You know? And so, yeah, I mean, when it comes to my kid, I'm a little controlling. I am. I don't like the fact that she does certain things, and in order to keep those from happening, you have to take away other things that you don't like taking away, but in the end, you have to. So, that's...
How long till she's 18?
Like 50 days.
Oh.
And then my...
Do you remember so long ago when the Olsen twins...
Oh, yeah.
You had that countdown for years.
Yeah, we had the stick figure t-shirt we got sued for. We got sued for their likeness.
Stick figure.
And my and my great comment in the deposition. Listen, I know they're a little anorexic, but stick figures, really? Likeness? I mean, really? And, yeah, those were classic shirts. I wish I could find one, because I would definitely re-release those as a throwback.
Now you just need to put a old sweaty French guy on one of them, and then you'd have a likeness of at least, I don't know, you know which one is which.
Yeah, a beret. The one who wears a beret all the time.
Well, no, one of them is dating, like, Sarkozy's brother or something. Oh. Maybe even married to him at this point.
Yeah, they wanted out of the spotlight, and they got it. You know, they got left with $1 billion, and they're fine. Good for them.
It's their sister, Elizabeth, that you see a lot now. She's the one that's actually done the grown-up adult, and I don't mean porn, but, like, you know, grown-up acting.
Yeah. What's their last name again?
Olsen.
Olsen, yeah, that's right.
Hence the Olsen twins.
Yes. All I could think of was Mary Kate and Ashley. I'm, you know, I went past the thing we abused for 5 years.
So wrong.
Remember, we had our 18th birthday party in Vegas, and they didn't show up, and we were like actually disappointed. Like, how dare they not come here and celebrate with us?
That a weirdly badger- enough, Bob Saget showed up.
That have badgered him for 5 years. Yeah, we got Bob Saget to call. That was awesome. We got pre-calls from Dave Coulier and John Stamos. They all treaded lightly around the subject, but the fact that we got the full house on before they turned 18 was awesome to me.
Oh, I'm sure they hated you. Oh, God. The girls.
Oh, God, yeah. It's like, oh, Chris, those old guys that talk about us. Ah. Like,
I can only imagine, though.
Shut
like,
up, it's just show business.
A child star. Like, I read a long time ago that Natalie Portman, of course, famously did The Professional. She was the little 11-year-old Lolita in that movie. She stopped reading fan mail once she realized that, like, old men were sending 11-year-old girl, like, foul, nasty, disgusting sex stuff.
Yeah.
And so that was when she stopped. If you're trying to send a fan letter to Natalie Portman, she won't read it. And I'm sure that most child stars probably don't.
She may now, but back in the day.
Oh, I bet you she doesn't.
Yeah, who
knows? No, you're a man, and you watch The Professional, and I realize, too, I guess, the mindset, but did you look at her as an 11-year-old girl and think, man, I got to hit that?
No, I did not see that movie, believe it or not, but but I did see a similar instance. I did see Pretty Baby with Brooke Shields at 11, and it did nothing for me. And I wasn't that much older than her at the time. I was like, I think 18 or 19 when I saw that movie. And
which De Niro movie was Jodie Foster, like the little prostitute? Was it Raging Bull or
Taxi Driver?
Yeah, it was one of those two.
It was one of those. Yeah, and you know, it's I mean, I remember my friends and I laughing at it like, oh, God, it's so fucking uncomfortable, man. Yeah, it's like we're like, hey, should we be looking at this? It's like, yeah, it's a fucking movie. We should. But, you know, if you're going home later and knocking one out, you're fucked up.
And just think, she went through all that and waited to lose her virginity in college to Dean Cain.
Yeah.
Dean Cain, which, by the way, is my my thermometer on Netflix as to whether or not I'm going to watch a movie.
If he's in it, no.
No. Yeah. It's like, I don't care how wonderful it sounds. As soon as his name shows up, oh, damn it, I'm moving on to the next one.
Please tell me you've watched Derek.
Derek?
Yeah.
The TV show.
Yes.
I have watched probably about half of the first season.
Okay. So,
and honestly, it did nothing for me.
Okay. Keep watching. Because okay. I did the same thing. Lisa was watching it, and I was like, oh, God, not this again. You know, because it's subdued and it's quiet. But once you start getting into those background characters, like the pervy dude that drinks all the time and fucks all the old people in the nursing home. I mean, you have like Derek, who's like this, you know,
pure innocent soul.
Asperger's or mildly autistic dude. Who's just
I think he's just mentally challenged. I don't even think he's like autistic.
Whatever he is, he's just on the fringe of challenged. You know, he
I don't think yeah.
And because he does have the ability to process feelings and thoughts and stuff like that, but he's just a little slow in doing so. And then
he's like the British Forrest Gump without the action.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But you really root for his character. He's like, you know, he goes in and spends time with people before they die, and it really affects them. Like, they all get to leave the nursing home with somebody who gives a shit by their bed.
And I think that's why I don't like it, is because it is too sweet. Like, it's very bittersweet, painful when you watch it. And it's God.
You know, you got to really look at the whole thing, because there's some dark shit in there. There's some dark, fucked up shit in there. like in the last episode, there's like a special one-hour episode they just came out with. But maybe you should just watch that, because it's moved along quite far from what you've seen. But
okay.
The nurse, Hannah, who kind of watches out for him in the nursing home, she's, you know, pregnant and getting married and having a kid and everything. And he's in the guy, the perv guy's in the hospital. And the nurse comes in and says, you know, I need you to stop rubbing one out all the time, because we're running out of sheets. You know, because he's laying in a hospital and he's like jerking off all the time. and he's in a room with like three or four other people, and they're like starting to jerk off too.
Because that's what you men apparently do when you're in a room with a man who begins to masturbate.
Well, I mean, they were just seeing that he was, like, you know, making the best of his time. So it was like women on their period, you know, syncing up. It was like the same type of deal there. But at the end of it, when they're getting married, you know, he gets up there and they're getting married in the nursing home, and the food sucks, and the, you know, the clothing, everybody's clothes are fucked up, and, you know, it's just a shitty ceremony. And he goes, this is the worst wedding I've ever seen. He goes, it's a horrible day. And everybody's like looking at him. He goes, but I want to let you know, it's not the worst wedding ever. Adolf Hitler.
And plus turning it.
Adolf Hitler And he goes into this whole thing about Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun getting married, and he's like she was the love of his life, and the next day they woke up and killed themselves. And he goes, and that was the worst wedding ever. He goes, so you can be glad and celebrate the fact that you haven't had the worst wedding ever. And then all these people are sitting around looking at him like, what a dick. It's a great show. I'm sorry. It touches all emotions, the darkness, the sweetness, the anger. It's genius. It's not a show somebody like me is supposed to like, but I do. Because I'm a huge Ricky Gervais fan, for one thing.
Right.
But great show.
Well, I will give it another try. As I said, I did watch, and I was just like, because I'd heard wonderful, great things about it. I mean, I've never heard anything bad about it. And I was like, oh, geez. I don't know if everyone's just being nice because he's mentally challenged. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there is that. But it's just kind of cool. I like it.
Speaking of mentally challenged, back during the winter, and this isn't funny. This was so incredibly awkward. This is why I'm telling this story, not for funniness, but because it was so awkward. Going to Walmart, okay, which automatically makes it awful right there. Had to go to Walmart. It's like a Saturday afternoon. Park the car way out, like far away from the store. Get out of the car, locking it up and everything, and begin walking towards the store and begin to hear this noise that at first I'm not really paying attention to until I realize I think that is a human being screaming. And it just keeps going and going and is getting louder and louder as I get closer to the store. And finally... cross the street, you know, that's always right in front of the store. And there is, they had just made it to like where the carts are. You know, you walk through the front doors, there's that whole awful area where the carts are. And then you walk through the second doors that go into the store. They had just made it to that first part. So I would have been hearing this guy from inside the store across the parking lot, and he is having a conniption, and he is clearly mentally challenged or something like that. And there was an older woman, very close to being elderly, I would say age-wise, tugging on his arm and trying to get him out of the store. And he is screaming and won't stop. And if you sit there and watch everybody, all of these people, you can see their eyes looking far away or down at the ground as everyone's doing this big wide berth around them and making their way into the store. Nobody would stop and help or do anything. I don't even know what you could have done to help. He was just in full on fit mode, and it was so uncomfortable. Ah. What do you do? Is there anything you do, or do you just avoid it because she clearly had her hands full? He wasn't being physical with her, but she was actually having to really like drag him out of the store.
Well, if you're like me, you want to, it's like putting salt and pepper on a good meal. You want to go in and get the 85-year-old greeter to go out and stop it.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Obviously, you still need a purpose in life. Go stop that.
He's ruining my shopping experience at Walmart.
They're not paying you enough to stand here, so you just should go out there and get some action. That way
to everyone's credit, I didn't see anyone laughing. This wasn't like a laughing situation. It was just so incredibly uncomfortable.
It is now, but I could see at the time where it wouldn't be.
What, laugh? Funny?
But I could see later going, oh my God, it was so fucking uncomfortable there.
I think that's, yeah. Not like, what a tard. It was just like, oh, yeah. God. You could tell on her face, the look on her face, you know, I felt so bad for her, that situation where she obviously wished she was anyplace else in the world except right then and there. And she couldn't turn around and scream at him to shut the fuck up or anything because it's Saturday at Walmart. Everybody's around trying not to watch.
Having your mentally challenged family member go off at a Walmart is my definition of hell.
Yes. I agree.
You know, getting a pin stuck in me and torched sounds better than that situation.
I felt really bad for her. And obviously, I felt bad for him, too. I don't know what set him off. I don't know what happened inside the store, you know. But, God, it was so uncomfortable.
I caught a lot of grief for the story I told about when my wife had her amniocentesis or whatever it's called. I don't know if I even said it right. Which basically 6 months into pregnancy, she's in her low 30s. They want to make sure our child's not Down syndrome.
Gotcha.
And we had, while they were waiting for results, they actually shipped us into like a religious counseling. You know,
did you know it was religious?
No. But
were you pissed about that?
No, because if you'll let me tell the story, you'll see.
Sorry.
You'll see where I was. I got what I needed out of it.
Okay.
But I go in there and we sit down in the chair and he goes, you know, at your age, the possibility is that this may come back. Your test may come back that your child has Down syndrome. And what are you going to do if that's the case? And both of us kind of look at each other and go, yeah, we're not doing that. And he goes, they can be wonderful, wonderful human beings. I said, yes, I know that. I said, but why put him or her through that? I said, as much as they have functional lives and as much as, you know, they adapt and all that, in the end, you know, it's not right to do it because we're not equipped to do it. So, no, we're not. The answer is no. It's got to go if that's the case. And he goes, it? And I said, yes, it. That's what it is right now. Can you tell me it's a him or a her? No. He says, well, I wish I could change your minds. And Sandy goes, you can't. She said, we've decided if we know that's the case, that we tried our best and we'll just go on with life. And
you're very lucky that she and you were able to make that decision. Luckily, you didn't have to.
Well, that was the thing. It's like we didn't even talk about it. You know, it's like the scene in Stripes. It's like, have any of you ever been convicted of a... And then he and Harold Ramis look at each other and go, convicted? No. You know, it's kind of like that. We kind of look at each other and went, I don't think we want that. He goes, oh, I see. And I said, that's a little judgmental. I said, obviously not everybody goes with the, you know, we'll take the less than perfect child avenue. And he says, and that's when he went into his whole spiel about how great it is, you know, and of course he has a special needs kid and all that stuff. And I said, you obviously love and are equipped to handle a special needs child, and thank God for you for that. Seriously, major right. respect and major props. We, on the other hand, know our limitations. We're career people. I said, I currently am 39 years old, so to be dealing with a special needs child in my elderly years, I don't want to do that.
Right.
So,
and that's what a lot of people don't get. I mean, and I agree with you. I would have to wonder if I know, in fact, I don't think I could handle a real kid. I don't want to say that. Forgive me. A regular, normal child as opposed to a special needs child. I don't think I could handle any kind of child in any way.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we said. I said, being honest, if this child's completely adjusted and healthy, this is going to be a challenge for us. We're career people. We have career jobs. We have career ambitions. We're not really wired currently mother and father style.
Right.
Well, that's something we're going to have to make an adjustment on. She's probably going to have to quit her job, and this is the way it's going to go. And in the end, he finally realized he wasn't going to talk us into it once I gave him my car theory.
Which was what?
Which was, if you went and test drove a car, and I want you to be honest with me, and it had all kinds of patterns and pings and, you know, didn't turn responsively and, you know, kind of veered into the middle of the road at times and, you know, just started acting up whenever it felt like it. Would you buy it? Knowing that that's what you were getting before you wrote the check, would you buy it? He goes, I suppose not. And I said, well, why is this any different?
Because it's a human life.
Yeah. That's what he said.
So let's ruin all kinds of human lives by putting this human life into a family that's not equipped to deal with it.
I said, we're being straight up and honest with you. We're not letting your faith or your status bully us. We are trying to be honest with you and say we're not equipped to do this. And if that goes against your religious values, we're sorry, but I don't want to be, you know, sitting around with a situation I can't handle in 10 years while I think fondly about how good you feel about us.
Exactly. There's a girl I went to high school with, knew her, have known her my whole life. Very sweet girl, woman now, you know, great sense of humor. And I guess ultimately, if this had to happen to anyone, she is a person that I feel could handle it and obviously is. She and her husband had a baby, and they had a perfectly healthy little girl. And so then she got pregnant again, and this time had a Down syndrome child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was in her 20s. I mean, you know, this wasn't having a late in life pregnancy thing. And so she and her husband started talking, and they were doing this for the daughter who, you know, was not Downs. They knew that ultimately she's going to be the one taking care of the child when they're grown up and right. Parents are passed on and everything. And they decided that they should bring another sibling into the mix so that the daughter had someone else to help her take care of the Down syndrome sibling. And so they had another baby, and they had another Downs kid.
And now what do you do?
Now they have two. And, you know, she posts, when I was still on Facebook, she posted pictures and stuff. She wasn't, like, over the top with it. And they're very sweet. And what a happy little family. And, you know, I'm happy for them. But I do feel bad, you know, that they took that chance again, because they were told they had, like, a 2% chance of having another Downs child. So they kind of won the lottery with that one.
Yeah, I, you know, in my encounters with people with Down syndrome, they are very well adjusted and sweet, but they need care.
Yes, they have health issues. You know, they don't live as long as someone who doesn't have Downs. You know, I think usually if they make it into middle-agedness, I think, you know, 50, 50 or 60 is like very old for someone with Downs.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm trying to think of the last time I've seen a full-on adult Down syndrome person, and it's been quite a while. It really has.
Right.
You know, most of the ones I see are like at the grocery store. You know, they work in those jobs quite right. well. They're task type jobs. You know, they yep. it's just a good place. So obviously we have to go to the grocery store all the time, and you see them there, and they're nice to the customers. They do a better job than real, you know, than people that have, you know, perfectly adjusted chromosomes and everything else. It's just there is something magical about them as far as their disposition goes.
They're very sweet. Yeah. You can't not smile when you interact yeah. with yeah. with someone with Downs. They're just sweet and adorable.
And it's just that aspect of it is great, but you know, I know it took a lot of work for them to get to that place. From their parents, right. from schools, from counselors, from God knows who and what. Family, you know, a body of work from a lot of people to get them just to that place. What do they do when they get into their 20s and 30s? It gets more difficult. And they need...
Because you end up making that decision, you know, if they want to get out on their own, ultimately they do end up like in some sort of group home or, you know, a series of apartments, you know, that are sort of like a group home because there's like, you know, a chaperone on each floor to make sure everyone's, you know, turning the oven off and stuff like that.
Right.
Or you keep them at home and you grow old with them.
Which, for some people, that works out.
Right.
You know, for people that grow old and like having their children around, that's a great situation. But, you know, you have no guarantees that's going to meld into that when they get older.
Right. And then you have to worry about, you know, if you are lucky enough that your child, you know, is healthy and everything, and then you become old, you know, you get your cancer in your late 50s or whatever, 60s. And so you're still relatively young, but now you're facing death. What are you going to do? How, you know, now you get to die worrying about what's going to happen to your child.
No, and all this shit's running through my head while this guy's talking to us about that. And I'm sure Sandy's too. And I was like, we're like, no way. No, no. We don't even want the well adjusted, you know, perfect one either now.
Right. You talked us out of yeah. it. Yank this
yeah.
sucker.
Yeah. Fix the test. But now
I know we're sounding like, you know, people should not have Downs kids, and that's not what, at least what I'm saying no. at all. I respect anyone who can, you know, do that and has the personality and the yeah. love level to do this. I respect the fuck out of you.
I'm not saying,
because I know I couldn't do it.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this person made a responsible choice.
Right.
Whether it goes with or against religious values of somebody else, it wasn't even a religious decision for me. It was a, you know, I am putting that child at risk being my child because I'm not great father material right now. I ended up being one, but at the time I was like, I can't, I could not deal with such a thing.
Now, other side of the coin, I have had the misfortune throughout my life of knowing a couple people who had special needs kids. And one, for instance, was very, very autistic and deaf. And, and I know that they tried. There was a level of trying. It wasn't a complete fuck you.
Yeah.
But not equipped. This child, you know, was getting locked in their bedroom. Just things which, again, I haven't walked in those shoes. I don't know what people think about locking your child in their room because they're going to wander away while you're sleeping. But at that point, who helps you with that? You can't afford to hire someone to sit there and watch the child while you're trying to sleep. You know, not all families have that ability. So what do you do besides lock them in their room and things? You know, it was just awful.
Yeah, I mean, if the person who's doing the caretaking doesn't have preserved sanity, then what's going on here?
Right.
You know, it's...
Because that's when you get tired and you get embarrassed and you get mad, and that is when you turn around and, God forbid, you beat the shit out of your special needs kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that...
Or worse.
You can't tell me that doesn't happen, you know?
Well,
you
finally
just reached that breaking point.
I have read, you know, circumstances of people with severe special needs kids talking about wanting to kill them and fantasizing about them dying and all kinds of stuff. You know, just people just finally, you know, keeping it real and just saying,
yep.
it's like we had to talk each other out of killing our own son. You know, because it was so out of control. There was no sleep. There was no rest. There was no peace. There was nothing.
Right.
Yeah, so. Anyway.
And, you know, and it's terrible that anyone gets put in that situation, you know?
Yeah.
You think you're doing the right thing. You think you're doing the right religious thing. Okay, I'm going to keep the baby and I can do this. Talk to me again in 5 years when I've ripped all my hair out and no one's helping.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know, you're not even, I think Down syndrome is the only one they can predict before the baby comes out. The rest of them, they can't.
Right.
So, you know, that's something to consider too. It's like if you went to those people one by one and said, if we would have told you at 3 months pregnancy that this is what you were going to be dealing with, what do you think your decision would have been? And I bet if they're one of those look to the left and look to the right things, they would have went, yeah, no way.
I know. But then as a parent, you are overwhelmed with that guilt because it's like, I just wished my child dead. You know, it's just shitty. It's just shitty. And I feel terrible for people put in these situations.
You didn't wish your child dead. You did the right thing for your child. You did the ultimately awesome thing for your child. In my opinion, you spared that child being locked in bedrooms, being tormented inside their heads, not being, you know, who knows what the thoughts of an extremely autistic child is? What kind of hell they're in? You know, do they realize they're in hell? Do they understand what's going on? Or do they half understand, which is worse? You know,
right.
It's like... You know, you just keep thinking of, you know, the Middle Ages where in medieval times where people like this got put out of their misery.
With a rat bite.
Well, yeah, that's the good conscience way out. Yeah. Let's lock him in the basement.
The dungeon cellar. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's messed up. It brings out the worst thoughts in everybody.
Yes.
And luckily, it's an area I excel in. So.
If you're taking care of a special needs child, I respect the hell out of you.
I do, too. I do, too. Very much.
Especially if you're not beating them.
Yeah, you know, it's we had a autistic kid living behind us, and he was mildly autistic. You know, he was actually going to real school and everything, but he was kind of a dick. And you had to really temper your, you know, because he'd come to the house to pick up his sister who'd be playing with Samantha, and he'd go, and he'd like look right through you, and you, when you open the door and go, "Alex, it's time to come home." And
see, I would just turn around and go, "Alex, it's time to go home."
And so I said, "Well, come on in for a sec till we find her." And he would just, like, in the middle of my sentence go, "Alex! You're in trouble! Alex!" So, it was to the point where he was so on the line of whether you think something's wrong with him or not. I didn't have any information or idea that he was officially autistic. Nobody said anything to me. Nobody, you know, I just thought he was a dick. So, like, after the fourth or fifth time of that, and I said, "You know what? You can come to my house and ask us to get your sister and take her home. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't come in here and yell for her." I said, "It's upsetting, and my German Shepherd doesn't like it." And I said, he doesn't like you. He's eyeing you like he eyes nobody else. So just.
And don't move quickly.
And he goes, "Well, it's time for her to come home."
I am not laughing at the kid. So, I am laughing at the idea of you dealing with the kid.
Yeah. So. So finally, you know, he walks out the door with her, and I turn to my wife. I'm like, "What the fuck? I hate that kid." And she goes, "You do know he's autistic, right?"
Oh.
And I went, "Well, I do now." She goes, "Really? You couldn't tell?" I went, "No, I just thought he was an asshole." You know, guys,
I've gotten better at recognizing the kind of weird anti, I don't know what the word is.
Social.
Signs. Yes, antisocial signs.
Yeah, lack of social abilities and stuff like that. So from that point on, I let him come over and yell all he wanted to. Plus, you know, Alex was kind of a little bitch, so it was kind of fun to watch him tear her up. So I, you know, as usual, I made things work in my favor.
Have you ever seen
you should hear
the
what
Onion?
Alex said about you while you were gone.
If you're ever bored, go on YouTube and do a search for The Onion's Autistic Reporter.
Oh, boy.
Comedy genius.
You should have never sent me there.
The one with the train and the one with the funeral are just absolutely...
All right, we need to move on to another subject. This is going to do nothing but cause us problems.
Yes, I know.
So let's move on. You've obviously gone through the trouble to find us some stories. Let's get into them.
Okay. These are exciting stories, Lex.
I want stories.
There was a British woman who was at work. She and her boyfriend lived together, had a pretty little dog, a Rhodesian Ridgeback. It was a 10-month-old puppy.
I have a dog that's Rhodesian.
Apparently had Do you?
I do.
And do you ever look at its ass and go, "Yeah, I got to get some of that"?
I don't.
Well, this guy did.
Ooh.
And he didn't just decide to have sex with the puppy. He filmed it. And I'm not sure exactly what he thought he was doing. Maybe just like saving it to his phone, which is stupid. But then filming it is stupid anyway. But what he ultimately and accidentally ended up doing was sending the video to his girlfriend while she was at work. And so she got this text with the video attached to it and got to see the man she, you know, seemingly loved violating their puppy in horrible, unspeakable ways.
Oh, my God.
On the upside, he's now listed on Britain's sex offender registry and enjoying the single life.
Wow.
It was a 29-second video clip.
I wonder if that's going to be the new Southwest commercial. Want to get away?
You just see a dog's asshole walking away from you.
I can't even comprehend doing such a thing without videoing, but actually.
Well, he told prosecutors that he'd been home alone watching porn. Yay for him. When he, quote, wondered what it would be like to have sex with a dog.
What the fuck kind of porn were you watching, dude? Nah, he's a sick son of a bitch, is what he is.
Now, you said you have a Ridgeback. Now, this was a 10-month-old puppy. How big would are they? Are a big dog, medium-sized dog?
Mine's 78 pounds.
And full grown.
And by 10 months, I'm thinking back, think he was in the mid-50s to 60 pounds.
Okay, now this was a female dog, so I'm going to hope and assume that he aimed for her vagina. But would even a man with a moderately small erect penis, would that still be pretty huge for a dog that size's vagina?
Yeah, dog dicks aren't very big.
So it was probably a very painful thing for the poor pooch.
Yeah.
Well, he's an asshole.
That would have been more humane.
No. I think that would have been worse.
I don't know. It's pretty big turds that come out of those.
Yeah, but they snap right back shut.
They do. Like a rubber band.
The O-ring.
What a fucked up concept. That's just, you know, but sending it to your chick at work, it's almost like he wanted to. It's like, oh my God, I'm a dog fucker. I can't stand it anymore.
Well, if he wanted to, there had to be that moment where he thought, she's going to dig this. This is going to get her hot, and she's going to fuck me when she gets home.
I don't think he had any interest in her fucking him. For one thing, if he's like watching a shitload of porn while she's gone, he's not getting much to begin with.
Well, there's two, you know, if you are in a relationship where there has been a cheating situation, and, you know, I can only speak for how women feel, but there is kind of that moment of when you realize who your significant other cheated on you with, and she is an absolute skank. There is that really horrifying, gross feeling of like, I don't know if I can ever let him have sex with me again because that's disgusting. So take that a step further. He fucked a dog. I definitely am never letting him have sex with me again.
Well, think about this. It's like, is that his first dog fucking? Do you video on your first dog fucking? or do you practice with dogs and realize, okay, I got this down to a point I can fucking video.
So, and I guess the thing is, if you video it, it's because you want to watch it again, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Or you just want to get caught. So you make the video and send it off to your chick and you get caught and apprehended and you stop. You stop having your sick, perverted thoughts and doing those things.
Only because the law won't let you have a puppy anymore.
Yeah, how bad is that? It's like the world's overrun with dogs. Everybody should give one a home, but you can't have one because you fucked them.
Yes. And, you know, for people who compare when you're talking about gay marriage and you're all anti-gay, and then you say, well, what's next? You're going to start marrying horses and dogs? And it's like, that is the dumbest argument I've ever heard, because they can't give consent.
Right.
So quit using that argument.
They certainly have the tools fuckheads. To protest.
Yes. Yeah.
Instead of that shameful look on their face, they should turn around and break all junkyard bat on his ass. Like the dog in Stand By Me.
Do you realize I've never seen that movie?
What?
You know, just like you've never seen True Romance.
Yeah, well, sorry. I've seen just about I've seen just about everything else. I'll get to it at some point. And then, you know, even Lisa gave me the, like, you've never seen True Romance? You must see True Romance. She's right.
You should.
And I'm like, oh, man, that's two people that want me to see it. Now I really don't want to do it.
I know. It's two chicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you just tell me to take the garbage out, too?
It's a movie I really so badly want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Because it's one of my all-time favorite movies. And so just because you and I talk about shit like that, it's just one of those I've always wanted to just go, oh, what'd you think? Oh, what'd you think about that? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will make sure I watch it in a timely manner, maybe even this weekend.
Sure. All podcast listeners have heard that before.
Yeah, well, I still have time. I didn't put a time stamp on it.
Yes, you did specify which weekend.
Oh, I did? Well, still shut the fuck up.
Make me.
Well, I can't. You're way up in the top of the mitten in Michigan, and I'm too lazy to fly up there and slap the mess out of you. But let's get into the next story here.
Okay, this one is just interesting because science rocks. I love science.
You do.
I do. It's a good thing to be all happy about. Some archaeologists were doing a dig, because that's what they do. It's like a latrine. I'm trying to see where it was. It was in Poland. And they discovered a 250-year-old dildo. Like a sculpted penis, Lex. With balls and everything.
Made out of what?
Let's see. It was the phallic... excuse me. The phallic object is large, thick, made of leather filled with bristles, and has a wooden tip.
Hmm.
It comes from the 1700s.
Damn, it comes too?
And it was found preserved in excellent condition. I'm going to assume with all of the shellacking and glazing it probably experienced.
Hey, it's like a good baseball mitt.
Yes. All that spit and oil.
Yeah. Just gets better and better.
They found the dildo amongst jewelry and pottery shards and near the remains of wooden swords. So they think it was like some sort of, sword place that you practice swords. I don't know what you call them. A fencing school. That's the word.
Well, looks like somebody was doing something with the posts.
Well, it says a fencing school where people apparently brought sex toys to use in the toilet.
Hey, when you want it, you want it.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the case there. So,
see, now I've understood, like, guys just with the whole positioning of body parts. Like, if you're on a long road trip by yourself, it is very easy for you to pull it out and pleasure yourself while you're driving. Whether or not you want people to see you doing it, that's, you know, a taste. It is very easy. Where it's a little harder for a chick to get there.
Really? To just stick your hand on your pants and play with yourself? Come on.
I think, yeah.
I had a friend of mine tell me that she can sit on a plane with her legs crossed and make herself come over and over and over and over again.
Really?
Yeah. to which my comment was, how many sky miles do you have?
That would, I assume, is because she is able to manipulate her lady bits very lightly,
but
without being like wiggly.
Yeah, but it's funny because this, in my opinion, is not a real sexual person. So when this came out of her mouth, I was just like, "Get the fuck out of here." She says, "It's just." She goes, "It's the one place I can do it." I went, wait a minute. It has something to do with the planes?
Oh, interesting.
And she goes, yeah. She goes, the planes represent freedom. Like I'm getting away from my regular, you know, wife and two kid, responsible, always having something to do life. And this is my time.
Could be an air pressure thing too.
No, I said that. I said maybe it's like the cabin or the. She goes. Oh no! As soon as I sit down in the seat, I start getting going.
I wonder if she's like very easy to make come. You know, like there's the women who can come just from having their nipples played with, mm-hmm. which I've always been very jealous of. You know, maybe she's someone who you don't have to really work at it when you're there.
Yeah, true. I don't know.
Because I would think if it takes you, you know, if a guy has to eat you for 45 minutes before you come for the first time, I'm going to guess either he's just awful or you are probably not the person who's going to cross your legs and come in an airplane.
Right. I've been told I'm pretty good at that particular thing, and
crossing your legs.
There have been times I've spent lots of time down there. I think the chick's mind has to be right.
Yeah.
I think a chick, before you even take her to bed or, you know, in the bathroom at the club or whatever, wherever you fucking are and it's about to go down, I think her mind has to be in a hoary state of, I want to come. I want to be sexual. I want this to happen. Because sometimes right. you all aren't. Sometimes you're just obligatory and letting us have it.
Right. Because we're givers.
So, me being me, I ask. It's like, am I getting fantasy-laden hoary, Lisa, tonight? Or are you just letting me do my thing? She's like...
Actually, I'm going to be 50s housewife with an apron on whore tonight, Lex.
There's no such thing. You know, and she'll say, no, just, you know, just do what you need to do. I'm like, I will. No, I appreciate that. That way I'm not like, you know, having to go down on her and having to do all this stuff. You know, it's just like she makes it known that this is just business.
Right.
And then there's other times, you know, where it's like, oh, I got to perform. Oh, I got to do things. Fine.
You're muttering to yourself, but you can't. No one can hear you because, you know, her vagina is in the way.
I know. Whoa. These are jokes. Cokes. Sorry. No, actually, as we've discussed, there's no echo coming from that thing. So, I'm sorry for the horrifying jokes, Lisa, who doesn't listen to this.
I know, thank God.
Maybe she does. I don't know. I've come home a couple of times and she's been like a little salty, you know. Like, you know, has a chip on her shoulder. You listened to the podcast, didn't you?
Damn it.
I really got to stop talking about you. There's really no benefit for me.
Well, actually, honey, it's okay if you talk about me, but could you please refrain from mentioning my pussy just one episode?
It's like it's one of the characters on the show now. It's like I almost want to get somebody in a pussy suit over here and go, "You're wrong. You're not that good."
Yeah, and it's got that old.
Yeah.
Got a cigar in your mouth.
It's like the bubble boy on Seinfeld. Take your top off. It's the Moors. Nope, I'm sorry. It's the Moops. It says it right here. Moops. It's Moors, you moron. No, it's here's what the card says. Sorry. I love
it. Either that or Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah, it's not, same thing.
Yes, he's a little squeakier, but...
Yeah. I am not secreting liquids. Anymore. I'm sitting over here on the threesome podcast in this dusty chair. I love him. He's so fucking funny.
A unicorn was winking at me.
God. Joan Rivers.
Yes. The mythical Joan Rivers vagina.
Do you remember the 900 call he did on the show?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What an improv genius he is. All right, so we're out of time, Stacey. What a great podcast today. Enjoyed it very much. Got a little serious with the Walmart story, but that's okay. I mean, we're well-rounded individuals here. This isn't all about laughs. We are touching on all subject matter at all times, and we'll be doing it a lot more. We're up for giving you 3 or 4 episodes a week now instead of just one. So we're very excited about that, and that starts right away. So if you do download this podcast, start looking on threesomepodcast.com, and we will have them up there for you to download at your leisure and check out.
Yes.
And that pretty much takes care of it for the week. Thank you, everybody, our cohorts in LT2. For your great shows and being part of all this. Drew Hillis and the folks at DBC for making it possible. We're out of here. Bye.
Bye-bye.